Are you ready to study the scripture now? All right. I want you to go to John with me, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Everybody say, a place. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way, and you know the way to where I am going." Everybody say, a place. I want to talk to you today about a place to call home. You know, we spend a lot of time in Houston and the other major cities of the world, more so than I did in the past. And I encounter homeless people. When I lived here most of my life, I rarely ever saw a homeless person. Maybe they were transit passing down the highway and they would stop in and ask for help. But just to see homeless people, I never saw a lot of homeless people. I know there's some here, but I don't really see them. But when I begin to spend a lot more time in the Houston area, there are certain intersections where there's always a homeless person there that is asking for money and help. It really gripped my heart. You know, I really was not a part of my experience. And then on a regular basis, you know, I'm seeing homeless people. So I started putting money in my console and putting water in my back seat and bringing some little things that I could just hand out the window, because I'm like, man, they're homeless and they, I'm thinking, what are you going to eat? It's almost dinner time, and what are you going to eat? And where are you going to go? And where were you last night? And it's raining, or it's cold, or it's hot. And I'm looking around saying, if I didn't have a place to go, where would I go? Where do I sleep at night? How does this work? I mean, just in my mind, just trying to figure out how homelessness works. And it's very troubling. I began to study why people are homeless and all the different scenarios that leads to people virtually living on the streets. But the fact is, homelessness is a tragedy, because man wasn't created to live without a home. We are animals, but we were designed to live in homes, shelters, to have families, to have meals, to have things. God intended for us to have a place. We're not like animals that just roam and migrate from here to there. We don't do well without a home. We were made to have a home. When God created Adam and Eve, before having done so, He first created them a place. He created the earth, and what a beautiful habitat the earth is. There's nothing like it in space. We've looked as far as we can look at all the planets and all the solar systems, and we can't find a habitat like Earth even close. And then on Earth, He created the Garden of Eden. And He made a place that He said is beautiful to the eye, and everything is good for food here. And He put man in the garden because He knew that man was designed to have a place. That man wouldn't do well wandering like an animal from here to there, but every person needed a place. And so He first created a place, and then He created Adam and Eve. And He said, now, take care of this garden, and you can live here and eat all you want, work hard and take care of it. Just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's my tree. Don't eat of that tree. But you know the story. They ate of the tree, and they got kicked out of their place. And suddenly man is like an animal. He's wandering. He was in a beautiful, lovely, safe, and harmonious place. And then he sins, and he's out there wandering. And the whole human race, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, was cursed with homelessness. They were cursed to travel the earth and search and look and try to find that place that Adam and Eve had so randomly given away. That place of peace, that place of security, that place of prosperity, that place of blessing, that place of relationship with God. They had given it up, and now the human race is destined to wander. And so it did until it plummeted in sin to the extent that God said, I regret I even made man. And God destroyed the whole human race with a flood, save Noah and his four sons and their wives. And with those four sons, he repopulated the earth. But man was still homeless. They were still wandering because none of them had a place like Adam and Eve had with God. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, God interrupted this endless search of humanity to find this wonderful place again. And he chose Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you more children than there are stars in the heaven. And I'm going to give you a land, a piece of geography to live on. And I'm going to make you, not only bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing to the world. So God interrupted this tragedy of homelessness that the human race was involved in. And he said to Adam, I'm going to start a new nation and I'm going to give you a place. It's called the land of Israel, the Canaan land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the promised land. It's called Palestine. It's called Israel today. And God said, I want more than just a people. I want to have a place for my people. Because you can't have the kind of life you want to have if you're not in the right place. So incorporated and woven together into the blessing of Abraham was not just I'm going to multiply and give you lots of kids, and I'm going to bless your flocks and your fields and your herds so you've got plenty of money, but he said, I'm going to give you a place where you can go and live. And so the children of Israel eventually grew and great in number from Abraham all the way to the 12 tribes of Israel. And they eventually moved into the land of Canaan, and they took possession of the place that God had for them. You see, much of redemption is all about having a place, having a space where God says, this is where I want you to be. You know, space is infinite, is infinity. Space is the unknown. Space is the unoccupied and the incomprehensible. There's a difference between space and place. Everywhere is space, but place has significance. Place has a sense of belonging. Place has a sense of this is mine. This is where God wants me to be. This is what God has designated for me. You see, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Every piece of this planet belongs to Father God. And God said he chooses the geography that people groups should live on and the seasons that they should live there. And Israel was given a plot of ground forever. God said, I will give you this land forever. I don't understand all the political confusion that takes place in that country. I don't know what the solutions are, but I know for sure the Bible says that God said, this land belongs to Israel forever. He's God. He owns the whole earth. He can give any piece of it he wants to anybody. And he's chosen to give Israel that piece of ground. Because God doesn't want his people to be homeless and just wander in space, but he wants them to really have a place. Space becomes place when an individual possesses it. When they begin to live on it, take dominion of it, and begin to experience life in that space. Space then becomes place. Every living person feels space, but unfortunately not every person really has a place. They're wanderers. They're looking. They're searching. And they really don't have that place that they feel like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be doing it with. I'm in the place that God has for me right now. Place is the convergence of a specific geography, significant relationships with shared purposes and pursuits, and a place where God is going to optimize his blessings upon you and your blessings to the world around you. That's the convergence of these things that creates a place. Place is where I find my highest and best meaning and purpose. Place is where I feel closest to God. Place is where I feel divine alignments around me. Place is where I feel the most significant in life. And we are all searching for that place. Abraham found it. Israel found it. The people of God find a place. Woven throughout the redemptive story and plan of God with mankind is simply a place. I just want to remind you of some portions of the redemptive story that emphasize how that place is very significant with what God is doing. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, obviously, mankind was lost, but there was a lot more lost than just mankind. Mankind lost his place, lost the Garden of Eden, lost the harmony that he had with God, lost the security, the safety, the peace, and the prosperity that he enjoyed. Jesus came to restore place. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, God said that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham was looking for a place, a geographical place that he was supposed to be. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible teaches that you and I, as the children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, we have come to Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is a place. It's a literal mountain in the land of Israel today. We're not all going to that mountain to worship God, but he was symbolically saying that you have come to a place. You have come to a unique and wonderful place that God has chosen for you. Jesus said, and I read it to you from John chapter 14, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. But he said, I am going to prepare a place for you. So look at it like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created a lovely garden so that man could live there. Man lost that place, and in the end, Jesus said, I've got another place that I'm preparing for you, and I'm going to make it ready. So God said in the beginning, I'm going to have a place for you, and then in the end, I'm going to have a place for you. So the whole culmination of what God wants to do in his redemptive plan of the human race and the earth is he's going to take us back to what we had initially in the garden, which was a place. So much of what the Bible is about is God giving mankind a place. And of course, when you read the Revelation and we go there through the eyes of John the Revelator, he talks about heaven, the new Jerusalem, a place. He talks about a new heaven and new earth, a place. And so ultimately, we're all going to end up in a place because God is into places. And everybody has a place. I believe that the local church is certainly a place to call home. In between the Garden of Eden and in between the ultimate of heaven, God has a place for us. In the beginning, the place was wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, in the mobile tent worship center. But then when they moved into the Promised Land, there was a established place of worship there in Jerusalem. But when Jesus came, he wanted to multiply it so people all over the world could be followers of Jesus and worship God, and they would have their own place. And that's what gave birth to local churches all over this city, all over this state, all over this country, this planet. They're local churches that become places for the family of God to go where they can belong and have a part and can be fed and nurtured and have significance, have divine relationships, and have a purpose in life. And so local churches provide that spiritual place for people to get plugged in to and connected to. When I read the book of Psalm 92, the psalmist said, they that are planted in the house of God shall flourish and bear fruit even in their old age. So I'm telling you, when you get planted in the right house, in the right church, you're where God calls you to be, you're going to bear fruit and you're going to flourish. How many of you would want your life to flourish? Isn't that a beautiful word? That's a good word to describe the kind of life I want to live. I want my life to flourish. And I want to be fruit-bearing. That means meaningful and significant and bearing good things as opposed to not bearing good things and futility. And so God said, when you get planted in the house of God, when you get planted in the place that God has called you to and chosen for you, that's where you're going to reach your highest and best. That's going to optimize your life. You know, we can all dream about a better place, a better time, a better this, and a better that, and that's part of what makes life work. We're dreaming about something better. But sometimes we get caught up in dreaming about something better and fail to realize how wonderful what we really have is. And thank God for anniversaries, because they're a moment to stop and say, you know what? I thank God for the place He's put me in, for the blessings of God upon my life. I'm thankful for what I have. That's what anniversaries are, just to stop and quit dreaming about changing everything and having something bigger, better, and more wonderful, and just stop and say, thank God I have a place, I know where I'm supposed to be, and I'm blessed. And so local churches give us that opportunity. I want them to put up 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. And in this verse, the apostle is teaching us about the diversity of the body of Christ. And it says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. Look at that word, arranged. He arranged. He placed us. He set us where He wants us to be. I'll tell you that one of the most important decisions a man and woman will ever make in their life is where they need to worship and what spiritual family they need to connect with. It's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. It could make the difference in your whole life, your family, the future of your children, by just finding out, where has God set me? Where has He placed me? Am I in the proper arrangement? That's God's will for our lives. When we get there, we're going to be closer to God. You know, we're living in a day of cyberspace. A lot of wonderful things happen in the world of digital gadgets. It's all a major part of our lives. It's the way we function. Thank God for it. But there's a lot of people that virtually live in cyberspace. In cyberspace, you can assume any identity you want. In cyberspace, you have mostly fictional relationships. And rather than valid relationships, you can go online and enter into the world of cyberspace, and you can pretty well be anything you want and connect with someone else as being anything they want to be, but it may not be real. You know, with our gadgets, our email, our text, and our cell phones, huh? And Twitter and all that stuff, we have a world full of absent others. Absent others. They're like in my world, and we talk, but they're absent. We're not sharing space. I get concerned about our families. It's so easy to text one another and send a message so quick. You know, we've got Facebook, but we don't have much FaceTime. And we're implementing the digital communication rather than sharing space. I'm going to tell you, and I'm trying to bring this out to you this morning, how God intended for me and you and human beings to share space. I don't want my world to be involved with all these absent others. People that I talk to and text to and Facebook, but they're never in my space. I don't want family and close friends that we're always texting and we're always keeping up with each other on Facebook, but we're never in the same space together. You see, God wants us to share place and to share space. I'm convinced that the tragedy of homelessness extends far beyond the street corner where someone is begging for something to eat. I believe it extends far into cyberspace, and there's millions of more people lost in cyberspace than they are standing on the street corner wanting something to eat. Let me tell you another void place that can suck you in. It's not the street corner, and it's not your computer. It's your television. You can be sitting in a nice home, your favorite chair, and you're sitting there and you're having this life with all these absent others. You're following the Robertsons and Duck Dynasty. And you're following the Kardashians, those kind of folks. And you're living their life. And you're watching how they think and they live. And right there in the quiet of your own living room, you're watching TV. And it's a sporting event. And it's something you enjoy. And you bring it right into your home. But again, you're by yourself. There's no one there. You're experiencing someone else's life, but you don't have a life of your own because you're not sharing space with other people. You don't have place. So be careful these vacuums don't suck you in. Be careful that our children don't end up playing their games and in the digital world that pretty soon they're disconnected with family and friends because they're drowning in a digital world of games and computers and other absent people in their lives. It's the tragedy of homelessness. Everybody needs a place where they feel closer to God in that geography than any other place. You know, a few years ago, we went to Israel. Our parents got to go and a lot of great friends, and it was just a wonderful time. And I remember as we drove up and we looked over the scenic view of Old Jerusalem for the first time, the first view is unforgettable. And then we walked down through the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed. Olive trees that were literally 600 and 800 years old, but the same garden that Jesus prayed in. And then we went to the tomb where they believed Jesus was buried. And then we went to the temple where Jesus drove out the money changers. And then we went through Galilee, and we sat on the mountain where he taught the Sermon on the Mount. And then we got on a little boat about what Jesus would have gotten on when he crossed the Sea of Galilee and calmed the waves. And we just went to places that we had dreamed about, taught about, studied our whole lifetime. And suddenly we're there. And I can tell you, it's called the Holy Land for a reason. Because you feel closer to God there. You just do. You just feel like you're nearer to God there than any place you've ever been in your life. Well, in that same sense, every one of us need holy ground in our lives. You need some spot, some building, some place, some local church where that when you go there, you feel closer to God than any other spot. That's what local churches are. They're places that God has chosen, designated those as holy ground. And when you come into this house, this is not just another public meeting place. It's not a civic center. It isn't a theater. It isn't a concert hall. This is a house dedicated to God. And when you come here, there's a sense of holiness about it. And that's a good thing. There is this sense that when I walk in the sanctuary, I'm getting closer to God and I can feel His presence. It's a wonderful thing to have holy ground in your life. And when we worship great and like you did here today and have wonderful worship praising God, and you really want to dig in and get a little deeper, what do? Go to the foyer? Go to the restroom? Go outside under the sun? Go stand under a tree. No, you come to the altar because there's this sense that I'm a little closer to God when I come to the altar. Because this altar is a designated place where God does official business. This is just the optimum place for you to receive a touch from God. And there is this sense that when I'm moving toward that altar, I'm getting closer to God. I'm getting closer to the help that I need. I'm getting closer to receiving something from the Lord. You see, you've got to have holy ground. You've got to have a place. Thank God for all that's happening for Christ on television. Thank God for all that's happening for Christ on the internet. Thank God for all those things. Thank God that this service this morning is being streamed on the internet right now. But I'm just telling you, wherever you are, that there's something about having place and sharing space with other people. That's what makes it place. There's something wonderful about a house dedicated to the name of the Lord, a place where people worship God, a place where people are blessed. And so thank God for this place. People worked hard, gave tithe and offerings and sacrifice so we could have a place to come and worship together and experience God. There's no value, no worth you can place on having a place to come and worship and know that that's where I am supposed to be. And that's where I feel God. And that's where it seems I hear God. That's where it seems like my life makes sense. That's where I receive and give. That's where my life comes together. It is my place. Everybody needs a place. When you find that place, you'll feel closer to God than any other place. When you get in that place in general in life, you'll have divine alignment, key people. God will orchestrate events so that your life will come together with other key people. Your life will begin to make sense and purpose. You'll feel significance like never before. And you'll feel a sense of belonging. This is where I belong. Now, you know, seasons change and God moves people around. We know that. It's important to know that you're in the right season. You're in the right place for that season. A place where I sense I belong. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is the place God has me. And every person has a responsibility of finding that place and staying there until God says it's time to go. I want to encourage you, don't lose your place. Don't lose your place. How do you turn space into place? Everybody occupies space, but unfortunately not many people have a place. Sometimes people just need new geography. They need new beginnings. I realize that. There may be some people here that are guests today. You're welcome here. You may be just one of those people that just need new geography and a new fresh start. You know, sometimes you got to recycle your life, recycle your marriage, recycle your walk with God, recycle. I think about all the people that live here in this region that were hurt in churches. You know, people get hurt in churches. Pastors get hurt. Saints get hurt. Things happen, folks. Life happens. I think about all the people that love God. They really have a heart, place in their heart for God. But you know, they got hurt along the way. I don't know what happened. It's a million stories and things happen. And they're not in church today because somewhere along the road they got hurt. And so they're not in church. They love God. I trust they're saved. And they have a longing in their heart. But they got hurt and it's like, I'm not doing that again. I pray that they would recycle. And not live that tragedy of homelessness. And not live without. But just get over it. Recycle. Start fresh. Get plugged back in and say, thank God I'm in my place. And I don't want the devil to ever beat me out of my place again. You know, I don't know if you've ever been homeless. But if you've ever been homeless, I'm sure one of your greatest commitments is, I'm never going to be homeless again. And if you've ever been homeless in terms of church and family and knowing where you're supposed to be, I believe that same resolve is there, is I'm never going to be homeless again, but I'm always going to be in the place that God has me for that season. You know, if everybody in the Golden Triangle that loves God, used to be in church, used to be walking with the Lord, but got hurt, something happened, life happens, and they're not. You know, if they all showed up on one Sunday morning, there wouldn't be enough church seats in the whole area to put them in. We'd be having all of us would be having 5 and 6 services a day just so somebody would have a place to see. We got thousands of people live all around us, just got hurt or got discouraged. Or maybe a little sin came in their life and they got embarrassed and they pulled back. I don't know. It's just a myriad of things. The bottom line is they're out of their place. They're homeless. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they don't even love God. In many cases, I wouldn't even question their salvation. It's not about that. They just don't have a place. I wish I had a voice loud enough and strong enough that could reach every person, your family, your friends, your children, your parents, that somehow just slipped away, just somehow got out of the habit. I wish I could call them back in and say, come on back in and get in your place. You know, things happen in a marriage, but you don't quit the marriage. Things happen in a family, but you don't quit the family. Things happen where you work, but you don't quit where you work. You just realize that life happens and you work through it. And when things happen, you got to recycle and pick it up and go off again. And I'm praying that people will come home to God during this day and hour that we live in and get in their place and make up their mind they're not ever going to let anybody steal their place again. How do I find my place? Well, you find God. You listen very deeply in your heart for His voice to speak to you. You trust His guidance and you let Him lead you internally. You know, as a child of God, you have an internal guidance system, far more sophisticated and accurate and amazing than a GPS. God will take you where He wants you to be if you'll listen and you'll follow. So find God and you'll find your place. Embrace your spiritual family. Embrace a spiritual family. All of us, the good, the bad, the likable, the unlikable, the mature, the immature, the perfect, the imperfect, all the stuff, just all the diversity of the body of Christ. Just embrace the body of Christ. You know, Christ was not ashamed to be called our elder brother. He embraced us as a family. He took us like we were and like we are. And He just said, I'm going to identify with you. I think about Moses, who was one of the greatest men that ever walked on this planet. The Bible said he chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous rather than be called the son of Pharaoh. He could have been the next emperor of the world. But he would rather identify with the broken, battered, beaten up body of Christ called the children of Israel than he was to be the emperor, because he identified with the people of God. And you know, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to identify with the family. You have to identify with the family. And the family's not perfect. And the family doesn't do everything right. The family has problems. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to identify with His family. Get connected with a spiritual family. Discover your purpose, your destiny, why you were born, what you give back, what you contribute, what you do that makes a difference. And spend your life seeking first the kingdom of God and all the other things He promised would be added to you. Whatever you do, find your place and don't ever lose it.